Hello, welcome to my podcast, Stories at Will. Thank you for finding me. My name's William Lewis. During lockdown, I saw a photograph of some feral goats wandering around in Llandudno. I wondered where they stayed at night, so this story is called I'm Your Lockdown Goat. Lockdown had been pretty quiet on Acacia Avenue until the doorbell rang at 9:30 that Thursday evening. You'd better answer it, said Dot. Okay, Dot, said Stan. I'd better answer it. Stan turned on the outside light, found the front door key, opened the door, and was surprised to see on the doormat with the welcome sign a large, shaggy goat. Hey, Dot, said Stan. There's a goat on the mat. Well, let him in then, said Dot.
Good evening, said the goat in a plummy baritone. My name is Cyril. I'm your lockdown goat.
What's a lockdown goat? Says Stan. And why are you here?
Ah, said Cyril. As it happens, I am head of the Kedir Idris herd. But with all these travel restrictions, we can't get back. So in the meantime, I've been billeted with you until things improve. My needs are simple, and I don't need much looking after. May I come in?
I suppose you'd better, said Stan, and led him into the lounge to meet Dot. This is Cyril, said Stan. He's our lockdown goat.
Oh, is he? Said Dot. Well, good evening, Mr. Cyril. You'd better make yourself comfortable.
His needs are simple, said Stan. He doesn't need much looking after.
Oh, are they? Said Dot. Would you like a cup of tea, Mr. Cyril?
That's awfully kind, said Cyril, in that plummy baritone. But it's been a long day, and I'd prefer a brandy and soda, if that wouldn't be putting you to too much trouble.
We haven't got any brandy, said Dot, but I think there's some Christmas sherry left.
That will do splendidly, said Cyril.
Several sherries later, Cyril said he thought it was time to turn in, so they made him a bed on the couch before Dot and Stan went up to their own bed.
He's a bit smelly, isn't he? Said Dot, and he's not very clean. But he's very polite.
Yes, there is that, said Stan, and switched off the light. Next morning, they found Cyril already up and watching breakfast television.
I do enjoy that show, said Cyril. The presenters are very good, aren't they? Now, forgive me for asking, but might we be approaching breakfast time ourselves? I do think it's important to start the day with a good breakfast, don't you?
Yes, of course, said Dot. What would you like?
Just a light breakfast would suffice, said Cyril. 2 or 3 eggs, couple of rashers of bacon, sausages, mushrooms, tomatoes, beans, fried bread, and a couple of kippers would pretty well wrap it up, I think. Oh, and a pot of freshly brewed coffee. I never think that instant stuff tastes like coffee, do you?
No, of course, said Stan. I'll see what we can do. I'll just need to pop out to the local store to top up our supplies.
Splendid, said Cyril. And while you're about it, be a good chap and pick up some brandy. Oh, and don't forget the soda.
No, I won't forget the soda, said Stan, sounding rather dazed. By the end of the first week, Dot and Stan were beginning to regret the arrival of their new guest. It wasn't just the rank smell and having to step carefully to avoid the little black pellets Cyril kept dropping. They also struggled to keep up with his mighty appetite. On the other hand, they did enjoy his stories of life and adventure on the hills, and he certainly had a fine singing voice, regaling them with an extensive repertoire from light opera to country and western. The following Thursday week, they returned from the supermarket to find their front door open and obvious sounds of fun and merriment coming from inside the house. They walked into the lounge to find several goats lolling around on the settee, the dining table, and the sideboard. They all seemed to be chewing. Cyril rose to greet them.
Hello, you two, he said. May I introduce you to a few hand-picked members of my tribe? This is Claude, playing backgammon there with Raymond. Those two are Maisie and Charlotte. They'll be sleeping in your room. And that one nibbling the wallpaper is Alec. You've been so kind to me that I thought the least I could do would be to extend your hospitality to these fine folk.
The goats temporarily stopped chewing, looked across at Dot and Stan, and said a collective hello. Dot and Stan struggled for a moment to comprehend the scene. Then Stan said, we're just going outside for a moment. Won't be long. Come on, Dot. Lockdown had been pretty quiet on Maple Avenue until the doorbell rang at 9:30 that Thursday evening. Edna Warburton opened it to find a harassed-looking couple with wild eyes on her doorstep. "You have to let us in," said Stan. "We're your lockdown goat fugitives. We can't stand it any longer. They're eating us out of house and home and wallpaper, and then there's the mess on the floor." "And the smell," said Dot.
"You'd better come in," said Edna. "I know what it's like. I had a lockdown pig once. Lovely chap and a great dancer, but took me months to get rid of him. I had to pretend my Barry worked as an abattoir. He'd come round in a bloody apron and sit there sharpening his knives. Finally did the trick. Goats are a different kettle of fish, though. Anyway, let me get you some tea and we'll put our heads together. Go on through to the dining room. It's on the left."
Dot and Stan opened the door.
"Good evening," said a deep voice. "Can I pass you a scone? They're awfully good, with cream and Edna's homemade blackcurrant jam. Oh, by the way, my name is Clive. I am Edna's lockdown buffalo."
The second story today was also in my first book. It's about an elephant called Amy, who's always known that she isn't really an elephant. It's not easy being an elephant. Out on the plains with a herd, it's okay, though you have to watch out for the poachers. The lions aren't a problem. They're more wary of us than we are of them. It's not the same in the zoo, though. The keepers are kind, and our food's provided. But there's never enough space to roam. And I'm not keen on being stared at all day. It's such relief when the visitors leave. I've been here for 50 years now. I'm the last one here. The others have either died or been taken away. To be honest, it's pretty lonely. That's not the worst thing, though. The worst thing is that I'm not really an elephant, a great lumbering thing. The truth is, I was born into the wrong body. I know I'm really a butterfly. You can tell by my ears. I can't see them, of course, but I'm sure they're bright colours, iridescent blues, purples and reds. I imagine flapping them and taking off, lifting off the ground. I know that's impossible, though. That's the tragedy of it all, of my life. Well, the second tragedy. The first tragedy is being here in the first place. Years ago, I plucked up the courage to tell the others about it. You know, about being a butterfly, really, and not an elephant. "Don't be silly, Amy," they said. "Just look at you. You're an elephant. Get used to it." I never have, though. Some days, when there's no one around, I'll go to a quiet corner of our yard and flap my ears as hard as I can. Maybe one day I'll lift up. It's not happened yet, though. The first time I saw a butterfly, I was about 4 years old. I was transfixed. I gazed, spellbound, at its fragile, delicate beauty. Up till then, I'd known I was in the wrong body, but I didn't know what I was supposed to be. When I first saw one, everything fell into place. It made perfect sense. Well, to me, anyway. It was on one of the bales of hay they attached to the walls of our pen. I watched it for a few moments, then reached my trunk up to it to say hello. Unfortunately, in my excitement, I blew too hard and frightened it away. I didn't make that mistake again.
You don't see them very often in here, but I always think they know I'm here, and they've come to see me. I see them in my dreams, of course. Clouds of bright butterflies flying around me, and I'm up there with them too, above the ground, above the clouds, under the bright sun. We gambol and play, a shimmering cloud of colour. And I'm one of them. I love those dreams. It's hard waking up from them, back to this heavy body lumbering around. I'm getting tired now. I'll just lie down for a bit. That's better. I can see them fluttering around me. Must be 20 or 30 butterflies. Come home, Amy, they say. Come home. Yes, I will. I'll come home now. I've been away too long. Home to the butterflies. Home to my true self. An elephant no more. I'll flap my wings and fly. Hope you enjoyed those two stories. Thanks for listening. I'll be putting new stories on Stories at Will every week or so. That's all for this time. Find me again soon at Stories at Will. This is William Lewis, looking forward to reading for you next time.